The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and Dr. Slavin is pondering exactly how he wants to introduce today's subject. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And we're going to talk a little bit about cancer. I just wonder how many people think whether or not anybody's been treated for cancer that didn't have it.
Ooh, I would say it happens. And certainly the doctor in Detroit is very much in the news for the millions of dollars that he collected in phony diagnoses treatments.
Right. And I think in that case, he probably knew the patients didn't have cancer. I think a lot of the doctors who treat, cancer are convinced the patient has cancer.
How can that be?
No. I mean, or they go by the pathologist's report and then they just go ahead. Okay, they have cancer now. But the real question is, what is the definition of cancer? Because that plays a role in who gets treated and who doesn't. So as you recall, but a lot of, I don't know, I wonder if where our listeners are on this one. Let's see, 71, 81, 91, 2001. So 45 years ago.
Richard Nixon.
Right, declared war on cancer. So where are we? Are we any further along? Are we any better off? I don't think he's done a good job fighting this war.
I would say cancer is further along, not necessarily winning the war.
Correct. And in fact, since 1971, trillions of dollars have been spent, treating patients for cancer. We don't really see any great accomplishments. I mean, lots of new drugs, but are we really saving lives?
It's really very interesting because in the seminar that I attended this past weekend, Dr. Slavin, they were reviewing all of the chemotherapy drugs and the cost of the chemotherapy drugs. And invariably, the lengthening of life using chemotherapy versus doing nothing. They lengthened life between 1.5 months to 11 months at a cost of between $40,000 and $120,000.
I had a suggestion to save money at one time. I think I may have mentioned it on the air. Guess I want a choice. Instead of spending, was that a month or that was for the total time?
That was for a year. Of the chemotherapy. So you think about how long the patients may have been on the drugs and how life was extended.
So I would say give the patient a choice. Say, look, I'll skip the chemo and I'll split the difference on the price. I'm saving, instead of $140,000, I'll save you $70,000. Give me $70,000 and we'll both win. Win-win for everybody. In fact, they didn't get into the fact that's and it's very difficult to come up with a number on this one, but clearly there are patients whose lives have been shortened because of chemotherapy.
There are patients whose lives have been turned upside down with pain and misery because of chemotherapy.
Now, you mentioned the the extent. Now, there's been other studies that report that the actual number of lives saved with chemo range between 1.5% and 3%. And they don't talk about the pain and suffering and everything else that starts with chemo, because I see, and I'm sure you see, patients recently diagnosed with cancer, and they feel perfectly well until the day they start their treatments, and then everything is downhill from then. But here's where we're going here. Back in 2013, and of course, this information has never been widely reported. A report commissioned by the National Cancer Institute revealed how over 1.3 million people were wrongly misdiagnosed with cancer. And is that a double negative? Is that wrongly misdiagnosed?
Wrongly diagnosed
with cancer.
Okay. How many people?
1.3 million.
Wow. And that's globally? Or
they don't say for what length of time. They go on to say, for years the focus has been on early diagnosis of cancer. And I think this is the point they're trying to bring out. So the early diagnosis of cancer, so they're lumping into that cancer diagnosis cancers that some would debate aren't cancer. So this resulted in millions of people being falsely treated for cancer with damaging surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy to cure a disease that they actually did not have. So they had a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association and reported both overdiagnosis and misdiagnosis of cancer as the two major causes of this growing epidemic. So we'll give you some examples of what we're talking about in a second. So this overdiagnosis and misdiagnosis has led to useless, harmful treatments for millions of healthy people. However, the media kept silent about it, no apologies to patients or their families, and nothing has changed in the conventional practice of cancer diagnosis, prevention, or treatment. Well, there is no prevention.
Diet, lifestyle, no. Supplementation.
By mainstream medicine, there's
that's
no
true.
Prevention.
There's no prevention.
So only now the National Cancer Institute and high-impact journals like the Journal of the American Medical Association are finally coming out with the news, and they admit they were wrong all along. In other words, what they were wrong about was calling things cancer that aren't cancer.
Very hard for the patients
Here's a topic I talk about with patients all the time. Is it's a lot easier to try and prevent cancer, which mainstream medicine totally ignores. In other words, put your efforts into preventing it than trying to figure out what's the best approach once I've been diagnosed with it. But here are I wouldn't say these are misdiagnoses. Based on today's definition of cancer, these are accurate diagnoses. What's missed about it is they're calling something cancer that really shouldn't be categorized as cancer.
Or shouldn't be treated as though it were cancer.
So one of the most common misdiagnosed cancers is breast cancer. Now, you've heard us speak about breast cancer and prostate cancer and talk about studies that have been done when they compare groups of people treated for breast cancer, for example, versus groups not treated for breast cancer. And how did they know who to treat and who not to treat? Well, the groups that were getting treated were the ones getting the yearly screening mammograms. And, of course, the other group were women not getting the yearly mammograms, so they didn't know whether they had cancer or not. And when they followed these groups over a long period of time, the death rate for breast cancer was the same in both groups. The treatments didn't make a difference.
Wouldn't it have been an intelligent addition to this research study, Dr. Slavin, if they had included information with regard to estrogen and progesterone?
Well, this is where you get into prevention. The easy thing to do, make sure women aren't estrogen dominant. That's the first thing. That's a starting point. Of course, there are a lot of other things. Maybe we'll have time today to get into some of the other things you need to check for.
Do you, when you're talking about estrogen dominance, Dr. Slavin, do you have to differentiate between estradiol, estriol, and estrone?
Not so much what we're looking for, because estradiol is the predominant estrogen. And what we're really looking for is to see if there's enough progesterone to balance out the estrogen so that you block the negative effects of having too much estrogen, which is primarily overstimulation of the breasts, which is what increases the risk of breast cancer. Now, here's where the problem starts. They define ductal carcinoma in situ. And the word in situ means it's within the cell, it hasn't spread anywhere. So they've defined that as cancerous instead of a benign condition.
Who'd have made that definition?
Probably the people that like to treat cancer.
National Cancer Institute, maybe?
Perhaps. Thousands, okay, if not millions of women around the world have been treated for this condition that likely would never have caused them any harm. And that I see all the time, and I'm sure you do too.
I see it a lot. The women are so frightened by what they've heard from their doctors. They're very much against not moving forward with treatment.
Now, we have a lot of women in our practice with a diagnosis of breast cancer that are opting out of chemo, radiation, and surgery and doing other things. I remember once we had a patient who was probably in her either late 40s, 50s, something like that. She said many of her friends, including herself, were diagnosed with breast cancer. She opted out of mainstream's approach. Her friends went for the mainstream approach, and she was the only survivor.
I saw her just recently.
So the other thing, so we talked about breast cancer and prostate cancer being very similar diseases from the standpoint that the tissue, prostate and breast, embryologically speaking, are the same and that they're both hormonally responsive tissue. So in men, they call something high-grade prostatic intraepithelial neoplasia. And that's a pre-malignant precursor to cancer, and that's also treated as cancer. Now, the same thing happens here. It may never go on to turn into cancer. In fact, looking at men with prostate cancer, the same thing is true. You have the groups that do watchful waiting versus the groups that do the treatment, and there's no difference in the outcome. In other words, when they looked at when they had the group of men with the prostate cancer going for the best treatment, which would be surgery versus watchful waiting, at the end of 15 years of observation, the death rate was the same in both groups. In other words, if you've got the kind of cancer that's going to kill you, the treatments didn't save you. And if you have the kind of cancer that's not going to kill you, perhaps the treatments are unnecessary.
And those causes of death would be from many other situations, not necessarily from cancer. That music means that it is time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come for your good health.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. through her remote counseling sessions. She works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are giving you information today about what you can do to support your health and avoid a possibly incorrect diagnosis. Unfortunately, those incorrect diagnoses are more common than we think.
Well, about 1.3 million people were misdiagnosed, and this was reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, misdiagnosed or overdiagnosed with cancer. One of the, we talked about ductal carcinoma in situ, and in men, you have the high-grade prostatic intraepithelial neoplasia.
I doubt very much that many doctors use that.
No, they just say probably you have cancer. Right. Especially, it may go along with an elevated PSA. So you got the elevated PSA.
That has been discredited as a diagnostic tool.
Well, here's the thing about the PSA. When it first came out, they used to say, we really won't be concerned about an elevated PSA until it goes over 10.
Right.
Now you can still be under 4, which is considered in the normal range, but if it went up from 1 to 2 in a short period of time, so we better go in and do something about it. But the point is, and it's been reported that 90% or more men die with prostate cancer, not from it. So it's going to be found. If you look for it, you're going to find it, and you're going to find it in men that don't need to be treated for it. But I haven't found, why look for something that doesn't need treatment? But that's what they do, because treatment translates to money.
Income.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is another situation in which estrogen is a culprit.
Definitely. Now, one of the journalists for the New York Times reported that 60 to 80% of oncologists' revenues come from infusing anti-cancer drugs in their office. So this is the economic incentive they have. Now, if this is a treatment you want to have, then fine. Although I think a lot of the oncologists have said to me that they've made it less...
toxic?
No, less of an economic incentive to do it in the office. Sometimes I'll just send them to the hospital to get the treatments. But I say get a second opinion, but it's difficult, when they're all reading the same playbook, second opinions are difficult. So a lot of times you have to do your own research. Now, a study recently published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Oncology reports that a panel of doctors has officially downgraded a type of tumor that was classified as cancer, but which is not cancer at all. And that cancer had to do with the thyroid. Before, they were actually removing the thyroid and treating the cancer with radioactive iodine. So they've changed that. So there are a lot of cancers or...
diagnoses?
Let's see, abnormal cells that have been diagnosed as cancer, and therefore they can get away with treating them when the outcomes wouldn't change. And, of course, this is good for statistics, too. When you treat something that's not a cancer, you're going to get a very good rate unless you die from the treatment.
Okay. Oh, what about this concept of going ahead with treatment when the PATH report comes back precancerous changes in the cell?
Well, I think some doctors might say, well, let's take care of it now before it turns into cancer.
Exactly.
They use that same approach when they do colonoscopies and talk about polyps. They say, well, we better get these polyps out because they'll turn into cancer.
They could. 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Let's ask the doctor, okay, what can I do to stop my body from making these polyps?
Change your diet, yeah. Use more fiber, drink more clear water.
And then the president-elect of the American Thyroid Association and professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic said, if it's not a cancer, let's not call it a cancer.
Forward thinking, yeah. Dr. John Morris.
So I think if nothing else, you people have to do their own research, and I think more and more people are looking into things, especially, let me pass this along to everyone. I think you can probably Google this. The truth about cancer is a very extensive expose on alternative treatments regarding cancer.
So that's something that people really do need to follow up on, because are they going to find very lengthy and high quality articles on this approach that the mainstream medical community is using in the media? They're not going to find this kind of information in mainstream media. So the truth about cancer, a very, very helpful series available on the internet.
And I think the difference is ask... and hopefully you don't have an oncologist, but if you do, you know, ask them what your success rate is in with this particular therapy treating this particular type of cancer. And I don't know if you can get a straight answer, because I don't think they know the answer. Or if you ask them specifically, what's your retention rate of your patients in your practice?
What about if those practitioners, and I'm including both the doctors and nurses in an oncology office, if they were attached to lie detection technology and they were asked the question, would you take this chemotherapy? What do you think the answers would be, Dr. Slavin?
Well, that's been reported. Oncologists would not do it, probably because... I guess they feel it doesn't work. If it worked, they would do it. On the other hand, I know doctors that have taken chemotherapy because I guess they don't know. I guess they're not aware of any other approach. But then again, why would a doctor smoke? And you know that's
well, they were told in the 50s by the tobacco companies that it was actually good for your lungs. Okay, so...
Well, let's look into that a little bit more. If you know that smoking increases your risk of cancer, and you continue to smoke, or even take up smoking, when you get cancer eventually, and it doesn't always have to be lung cancer, it could be cancer of the
bladder,
head and neck. You said bladder cancer.
Yeah, I see a lot of people coming to me.
Also heart disease. You know, it's the cadmium in the cigarettes mm-hmm. with bladder cancer. But, you can get heart disease too. All these diseases, it doesn't make any sense that you'd want to go for treatment, because the best treatment is prevention, and you could have just not smoked in the first place, and you might have avoided all this.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, just along those lines, I think that some people have... greater predisposition to becoming addicted to different substances. It could be sweeteners, it could be chocolate, it could be tobacco, it could be alcohol, a lot of different things that people get so attached to.
Yeah, I think when it comes to tobacco, I don't think people are addicted to the tobacco itself, especially... when people used to smoke before they added all the addicting substances to the tobacco.
Oh, because that was back in the times of the Indians sharing a pipe?
I think you go back into the 40s and 50s. I don't think they were doing that either. And people were actually living long, and they were happened to be smokers. And then they started putting all these ingredients, and not to mention pesticides and all the other chemicals in there, and that's when I guess the death rate, maybe initially there wasn't an association with tobacco and lung cancer, but when they started manipulating the tobacco, then all of a sudden all this became apparent.
Well, I kind of also point the finger at the American mentality, and, you know, around the world, people might be smoking 2-3 cigarettes a day. And here in the United States, because of the economics of it, they more people can afford multiple packs of cigarettes in a day. And so it's overconsumption of tobacco.
Well, no, people clearly shouldn't be smoking, in my opinion, if you want to improve, keep yourself as healthy as possible. But clearly smoking a pack or two a day is worse than 1 or 2 cigarettes a day. But they've made it addicting, like you said. But the most addicting substance is sugar. No warning signs on that. And sugar is killing more people than anything else. And yet nothing is being said about that. I just have to, you know, just jump back to the big, I'm not sure about a debate, but this big push about opiates. And I hear it from my patients. You know, they're having more and more difficulty, the ones that need pain medication, getting the medication. So what do you think happens when someone who's in pain is not prescribed adequate amounts of pain medicine, or the pharmacies unilaterally decide, oh, that's too much, we're going to give you less? Then they look on the street sometimes to get relief, because living in pain is, well, let me put it this way, people have committed suicide to escape the pain. So going for heroin or other street drugs, and then you see the increased risk in overdose. So they're missing the entire picture entirely. And if this is their war on drugs, trying to cut back on the amount of illegal drugs by preventing people with medical needs for the medication, it's misplaced. So here's another good example of the government interference creating more problems.
Okay, the organizations interfering between the patients and their doctors, and kind of short-circuiting what the doctors are doing to manage their patients. And I see that with the insurance companies, certainly with the government agencies, and certainly in the media. You see the kinds of articles that are saying, you know, what some doctors are doing is incorrect, unsafe. But there are many, many doctors out there who do have their patients' best interests at heart and are doing the correct thing, but they are being discredited.
Well, here's an example. You know, patient who's been a patient for a long time, getting pain medication for chronic back pain from spinal stenosis. And, you know, that's a painful condition. I don't think they have very good other remedies for it. I mean, they have surgery. You know, plenty of doctors will be happy to do surgery for that condition, but will it make it go away? No. Usually what happens is now you have a secondary problem after the surgery, scar tissue. And he goes to get his prescription filled, and he has the mail order insurance and everything, and they refuse him they don't give him a reason. They just said, oh, no, we're not filling that prescription. They don't examine him. They don't, you know, they just unilaterally say, and they're not even, and they can't even be held responsible, but they're depriving him of medication to improve the quality of his life.
That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back after these messages.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991. To learn more, 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we're giving you information today that you may not find anywhere else. The mainstream media tends to report things very supportive of how medicine is currently practiced. So for information that gives you a different viewpoint, come to Natural Doc Radio.
Now, here's a mineral. Minerals are very important. I don't know that your doctors are routinely, again, checking for minerals. I think you're lucky if they check for magnesium. What about some of the other minerals that are extremely important?
Well, they don't check for the magnesium correctly. They check for calcium, potassium, sodium, and chloride. But with regard to things like selenium and iodine, it would require a very, very special test. And when I suggest to the people that I'm working with that they might ask their doctors for these tests, they say, well, I have talked to my doctor, and he said, well, what are you going to do with that information? And so they're reluctant to test for those important nutrient minerals.
Well, why is it important to know your selenium, whether or not you're deficient in it or not? Well, I think one of the biggest reasons is, you know, we're talking about ways to prevent cancer, and this is one of the ways, correct a selenium deficiency. It's not, you know, the only thing. Again, I think when it comes to cancer and any illness, we talked about what's the most important nutrient, the one you're deficient in. So you got to pay attention to all these things. And it's been reported that 0.5 to 1 billion people worldwide. What's the worldwide population? Is it only 3 billion? Something like that?
Might be pushing 4 billion.
4 billion? So 25% or more of the population is deficient in selenium, while even more consume less selenium than is necessary to provide disease prevention benefits. So, you know, so selenium deficiencies have been associated with the risk of disease and death from all causes, including cancer. So what are some of the types of cancer that have been associated with a selenium deficiency? In 2015, it was published in the International Journal of Cancer. They said that higher selenium levels are linked to a lower risk of colorectal cancer, particularly in women. They also found that selenium levels were suboptimal in many Europeans. And then another study in 2016, and this was a meta-analysis, which means they looked at 69 studies and pulled the information from those studies, and they found that high selenium exposure from food, but not supplements, had a protective effect on cancer risk and decreased the risk of the following types of cancer: breast, lung, esophageal, gastric, and prostate. Now, the interesting thing is when they say from food and not from supplements, so if you're eating a diet that provides you with optimal amounts of selenium, I think that puts you in the health conscious category, because you're not going to get selenium from junk food or fast food.
It's going to rob you of selenium. So one of the things that I tell people is just a Brazil nut a day, or two or three over the course of the week, in addition to some selenium that you might be getting through your multivitamin. Dr. Slavin, do you have a recommendation for how much selenium someone should be taking?
Well, the maintenance dose, about 200 micrograms.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say, what? The only way we really know is test.
All right, well.
And then.
After you take the maintenance dose of 200 milligrams, you know, then test. If you're not taking selenium, I can guarantee your levels are not going to be where they should be.
Okay, now, I always recommend selenomethionine, and so selenium bound to the amino acid methionine. Do you have any particular recommendation for supplementation, Dr. Slavin?
Well, I usually recommend people start off with a good multivitamin mineral supplement, because it's, you're not just going to get selenium, you're going to get all your other minerals, including the trace minerals, which are very important.
And the minerals have to interact, or they're not going to actually work properly. Okay, I know this is stepping aside from the topic of selenium, but I don't really care for those multivitamins that say they are iron free, because as I said, they're, the minerals interact. You need all of those different minerals in proper balance and ratio. And to exclude iron, I don't think makes a lot of good sense. What you don't want is overdose.
Well, and there's some debate about that. And the reason for that is iron is a heavy metal. And it's been associated, higher levels of iron have been associated with increased risk of heart disease, for example. And here's where that came from. Women run low, premenopausal women run lower levels of iron. And it's been presumed that that may be one of the reasons why they have a lower incidence of heart disease compared to men of the same age that run higher levels of iron.
It was presumed.
Yeah, it's very difficult to prove.
Right. So here's the very important part of this, that you don't want too much iron. Yes, indeed, too much iron is going to contribute to a potential toxic situation. So once again, you test your mineral levels, you know where you're standing, and that's a pretty important thing. And by the way, Dr. Slavin, I looked up the world population and we were both so wrong.
Much higher.
7.4 billion as of March 2016, and that it will increase to 11.2 billion by the year 2100.
I'm not so sure that's a good thing.
Right.
That means people are more than outproducing themselves. And it's not in the developed countries. Anyway, so here's what it is. It used to be a common thing where people would have big families, but the reason for that was you knew that because of infant mortality, you know, if you had one or two children survive, you know, that's what your goal was, to make sure that, you know, you had some offspring surviving. Now with the better medical care in that age group, now you're having, 10 kids surviving. That creates a strain on the economy and for those people.
A strain on the globe.
So selenium has been linked to a reduced risk of bladder cancer. And this goes back to 1996, published at University of Arizona. So if you had optimal levels of selenium, your risk of bladder cancer was less. In another study, 1,300 older people who were taking 200 micrograms of selenium daily for about 7 years reduced their risk of cancer by 42%. And those, cancer deaths for those taking the selenium were cut almost in half. So selenium is if you're not taking selenium, you're deficient in selenium. Let's put it that way.
Okay, what about selenium toxicity?
I think you have to.
Because people are very concerned about that. When I tell them that they should be taking 200 micrograms, they get sometimes concerned that it's too much. But 200 micrograms seems to be kind of the baseline to maintain.
That's a maintenance dose.
Right. Yeah.
Not milligrams, micrograms.
Micrograms.
So here's another study that really puts things into perspective. Men who took selenium had 63% fewer prostate cancers, 58% fewer colorectal cancers, 46% fewer lung cancer, and overall 37% fewer cancers. Selenium was even found to reduce the risk of lung cancer to a greater degree than stopping smoking. So you can see the importance of selenium, but there are a lot of minerals. Every mineral, you know, there's no such thing as a unnecessary nutrient mineral. Every mineral, every nutrient mineral, there's a purpose.
Okay, and how about one that's very, very unpopular with the doctors, Dr. Slavin? Iodine. It has a purpose.
You know, sometimes I think that the reason certain information makes its way into the literature that doctors are reading is because it actually might make people too healthy, and that would be bad for business.
It's very interesting because one of the things I learned over the weekend, I was always puzzled why the vitamin D recommendation about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, went from 2,000 to 3,000 IUs daily to 400 IUs. And it was very interesting because over the weekend was demonstrated that in maybe 1967, somewhere around that time, there was a zero inadvertently dropped in a research paper that was published in one of the journals. And everybody jumped on that 400 IU rather than 4,000 IU as a baseline to support vitamin D levels. And what have we got? We have a population who has very, very minimized vitamin D levels, deficient vitamin D levels, and that translates to a whole host of disease states.
So if you're still resistant, I think our list is not resistant to taking supplements. I think that they do. You just want to make sure that you're getting the optimum amounts because it does make a difference. I think in my practice here, you know, we see patients in their 90s rather routinely, and not because we're doing such a good job here, but we're giving the patients the information they need to take better care of themselves. You know, they're motivated to take care of themselves, and I think that's what sets the people that listen to this program apart from others that, you know, don't really pay attention to their health. If you pay attention to your health and do something about it, it makes a difference.
The rewards are great. One of the things that I think happens, Dr. Slavin, with the information that we share on this show is people have the ammunition to have an informed conversation with their healthcare practitioners and informed conversation with family members, because so many times people are categorized as health nuts, but the truth of the matter is we are health supporters. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. Here you are, Natural Doc Radio. And we're talking today about the importance of understanding where you stand with regard to a variety of nutrients, trace minerals, vitamins. Dr. Slavin?
Well, you know, we started off the program today talking about the fact that cancer in many cases is either misdiagnosed or overdiagnosed, meaning in order to make money, you have to get sick people and treat them. And what better way to get sick people is to change the definition of sickness. So people who aren't sick are being defined as sick so you can treat them. And I think that happens a lot, not just in cancer. I think it happens a lot in other areas, like in lowering cholesterol levels, in maybe lowering the blood pressure too much, things like that. Of course, those approaches are okay for a temporary approach to give some get some control over a situation. But for the long-term approach, you want to do other things such as address the underlying cause of the problem, not just treat the symptom. And again, getting to the underlying cause of the problem, one of the underlying causes of cancer is a selenium deficiency, which is widespread. So we're just saying, you know, check your selenium levels to start off with. It's not good enough. And I had a patient yesterday. She's, she came in for a consult and, I think she had rheumatoid arthritis and she wanted to know, and I noticed in the history she used to take thyroid medicine. She stopped, and I looked at her levels. She brought in some lab work. Her levels were on the low end of the range, and the doctor says, well, you don't need it. You're in range now.
I hear that so often.
And I said, yeah, but if you read the literature, getting into the optimum level range is going to be beneficial to you. Now, back, speaking of thyroid health,
I just wanted to say, we talked about selenium, and how many people out there are taking Synthroid and have never been told about the importance of selenium or about the importance of iodine?
Sure. Now, a wide range of selenium's effects are still being looked into, but it does play a role in thyroid function. You know, your thyroid contains more selenium per gram of tissue than any other organ in your body. So your thyroid needs selenium, and it's saying perhaps Hashimoto's disease might have a selenium connection as well as Graves' disease, you know, the two conditions of the thyroid. And why aren't your doctors checking these things? Low selenium levels during pregnancy may play a role in childhood asthma.
There isn't a whole lot of money in selling selenium to your patients.
Nobody likes being sick, but viral and bacterial infections are often associated with deficiencies in various macronutrients and micronutrients, including trace elements like selenium. So selenium deficiencies have been shown to allow viruses to become more virulent. In other words, they become more virulent only because your body's immune system can't control them. That it would explain why two people can be in the same environment, one gets sick and one doesn't. Dietary supplementation to provide adequate and supranutritional selenium supply has been proposed to confer health benefits for patients suffering from some viral diseases, including the flu virus.
critically important. How often do you hear somebody talking about take some selenium and support your immune system before the flu season hits?
I just think it just makes sense. Again, selenium is a very inexpensive approach. You know, and it sort of annoys me when a doctor says regarding the taking of supplements, you're just making expensive urine. And he ignores the fact that those drugs are way more expensive, making far more expensive urine than the supplements.
Far more toxic urine.
And toxic. So where do you get selenium in addition to your supplements? Like Janet mentioned, I think Brazil nuts are probably the best source of selenium. They have 70 to 90 micrograms in each nut. But you got to get organic Brazil nuts. Are they readily available?
That's a good question, Dr. Slavin. Now, I'm not sure about that. You think about what the shell of the Brazil nut is like. So do you think that the pesticides, herbicides, the artificial fertilizers really are part of the nut once you remove that really incredibly hard shell?
So I have an interesting question for you.
Okay.
Where do Brazil nuts come from?
California.
Well, you know, I'm asking the question. It says the
name Brazil nut isn't because it came from Brazil. I do know that.
It's native to the Guineas, Venezuela, Brazil, eastern Colombia, eastern Peru, and eastern Bolivia. Do they have Brazil nuts in this country too?
I believe so.
So probably they must have been transplanted in this country. So
you think about the Spanish going to Central and South America and then coming to southwestern United States. I can see them bringing along a Brazil nut tree as well as a variety of other commodities.
So just going back to answer that question. So if they don't come from Brazil, they do. What's one of the places they come from? Brazil nuts, here's some interesting trivia, can be found in most supermarkets in Britain. How do you feel about
covered in chocolate? That's talking my language.
Tell me about the macadamia nuts. That's from Hawaii,
right?
Covered in chocolate a lot.
Okay,
are macadamia nuts good for anything besides
antioxidants? They're very high in beneficial fats, but you don't want to eat too many of them.
And it says here the Brazil nuts you see in England are actually harvested in the Bolivian, not the Brazilian, Amazon. So just interesting bit of trivia. So probably the most common place is Bolivia, although you can't find them in Brazil. And so Brazil nuts are a good source of selenium. But back to foods, sardines, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, pastured organic eggs. That's the key. If you're going to buy eggs, see if you can make sure it's pastured and organic. Sunflower seeds, you can find selenium. Again, pasture-raised organic chicken and turkey. And I think it's becoming easier and easier to find these foods. Chia seeds and mushrooms, other sources of selenium. So the point is, when they said that people who were eating a better diet and had good levels of selenium in their diet, I said, they're probably people that are eating a healthier diet. And you can see when you're getting selenium from your diet, you are eating a healthier diet. And you don't really have room after you've consumed these foods for junk food and the foods that aren't promoting your health. Remember, which do you go by? Do you go by I eat to live or I live to eat?
Yes.
Well, you ought to ask yourself that question.
Okay, when you're eating quality foods, you are more likely to be satisfied and less likely to be looking around for something to munch on.
Well, and it varies. You know, selenium content of the soil varies from location to location. For example, in areas like China, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, soil levels of selenium tend to be much lower than in certain areas of this country. For example, Nebraska and the Dakotas have very high levels of selenium. So it's important to... So you can't be sure, you know, depending where the whatever you're eating, the produce you're eating, depending where it's coming from. And this is true of every nutrient, not just selenium. Depending how the soil is grown in, it's going to dictate the nutrient content. And that's why we came up with doing supplements, because the foods cannot always supply the optimum amount of various nutrients.
And that belies the recommendation very often from your physician or possibly from a dietitian that you can get what you need from your diet. And the truth is many of the vegetables that we've come to rely on to supply minerals are deficient in those minerals. And so you must take very, very high quality multivitamin, multimineral, just as a foundation to good health, and then test to see where you might be deficient.
Well, and just as a summary again, with selenium, reduces the risk of breast, lung, esophageal, gastric, and prostate cancer. It's going to strengthen your immune system. It's going to help your body fight off viral and bacterial infections. So it's going to protect your thyroid against various conditions.
Critically so, important if you are being treated for any sort of thyroid insufficiency, imbalance.
So you can buy selenium by itself, although I recommend first getting it in a good supplement, because a good supplement, and to my definition, a multivitamin mineral supplement is usually around six a day. And the reason for that is they have minerals in there and they take up space, and you're going to find about 200 micrograms of selenium in that type of supplement.
And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.